The title of my sermon this morning is, Who's Your Father? Who's Your Father? And here's the big idea. Only those who have trusted in the Son, and who's the Son? Jesus. Only those who have trusted in the Son are able to call God Father. I remember on more than one occasion when I was a young boy, a stranger walking up to me and asking, "Hey, are you Bill Taylor's boy?" "Yes. Who are you?" And maybe if you're a man here, you remember a time when you were younger where a stranger, maybe someone that worked with your dad or knew your dad or went to school with your dad, they see you out and they ask the question, "Are you so-and-so's boy?" When an adult asks that question of a child, it's typically due to what? To the apparent features and mannerisms of that child that resemble who? The father, right? The child in question looks like his dad, sounds like his dad, and acts like his dad, which leads to the question, are you so-and-so's boy? Are you Bill Taylor's boy? So the question I want us to ponder this morning is, who do you belong to today? Who do you belong to today, and what's the evidence that you do? You might say, well, I belong to God. Chris, I belong to God. Well, what's the evidence that you do? Is there evidence that you belong to God? Do you resemble Him? Do you act like Him? Do you speak like Him? Maybe a more rudimentary question is, what determines whether or not you belong to God? Think about that. What determines whether or not you belong to God? It's your response to Jesus. It's Jesus. Okay? Jesus is the determining factor of whether or not you belong to God. Why didn't Jewish opponents, Jesus' Jewish opponents, why didn't they belong to God? That's clear in our passage. They belong to somebody else, Jesus says. Well, it's simple. Why didn't Jesus' Jewish opponents belong to God? Because they didn't believe in who? They didn't believe in Jesus. So we have two groups in our passage. It's laid out pretty clearly. We have two groups. I have really three points. I want to focus on each group and ask some questions. Really, what characterizes these two groups? We have two groups in our passage. Those who claim God is their father. So we'll call them those who belong to God. And those who have the devil as their father, those who don't belong to God. So there are those who belong to God. That's group A. And then there are those who don't belong to God. That's group B. You know, and we see this all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. In Genesis 3:15, this is right after the fall. Right after Adam and Eve sinned. They disobey God. And there's consequences when you disobey God. Okay? There's curses. And here in Genesis 3:15, God is speaking to the serpent, the devil. He says, "I will put enmity, division, between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." So again, we have how many groups here? We have two, right? There's the offspring of the serpent, and there's the offspring of the woman, who's Eve. The seed of the serpent, and you'll understand why I'm doing this, okay? The seed of the serpent refers to those who, like the serpent, are opposed to God and his rule. Whereas the seed of the woman refers to those who love God and come under his rule. Now, as one commentator notes, the unspoken question to the reader is this: whose seed are you? Whose seed are you? Again, there are those who love the Lord and there are those who do not. Where are you? I want you to think about that this morning. And let me give a quick warning. I'm thankful for the warnings of Scripture, so let me give you one. The fate of the serpent and those who belong to the serpent, his offspring, is laid out in Genesis 3:15. They'll be what? They will be crushed by the seed of Eve. Sorry for that, bud. They'll be crushed by the seed of Eve, which is a clear pointer to who? It's a clear pointer to Christ. Again, in our passage, we have two groups. Those who belong to God and those who don't belong to God. What characterizes each group? And that's laid out so clearly in our passage by Jesus. So we're going to start with number one, those who belong to God. And how are they characterized, those who belong to God? I have A, B, and C here. A, they love Jesus. Those who belong to God love Jesus. That's verse 42. So stay with me in your Bibles. Look at verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. Okay, that makes sense. If God were your Father, you would love me, Jesus says. This makes sense because who loves the Son? The Father loves the Son. You cannot belong to God if you don't love the one who has eternally been the object of the Father's love. Let me say that again. You cannot belong to God if you don't love the one who has eternally functioned as the object of the Father's love. And who's that? Who has the Father love for all of eternity? The Son. And we've already seen this in John's Gospel. Let's go back to John 3:35. Again, what's the first characteristic that you belong to God in our text? You love Him. You love Jesus. You love Jesus. John 3:35. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. And then skip over to John 5:20. John 5:20. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all that He Himself is doing. What we see here is that you cannot claim to belong to God if you don't love the Son that the Father loves with an eternal love. In fact, as we see in John 5:23, so just go a few verses past our last reading. So John 5:23, it is the Father's will that the Son, Jesus, be honored just as the Father is honored. And this further speaks to the unity between the Father and the Son. They are separate persons, yes, but one God. And we see this as well throughout John's Gospel. Think of John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the beauty of this verse, and that's where we started our series in John a year ago, the beauty of this verse is that we see unity and diversity between the Father and the Son. Recall also John 10:30. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. Therefore, you can't love the Father and not love the Son. It's impossible. You can't love the Father and not love the Son. The clearest evidence that one belongs to God is his or her love for who? The Son of God, Jesus. Now, why is this so significant? Why is this so important? Let's go back to John 3:16. I think most of us know this. Clark and I were watching a movie the other day in Luke, and someone in the crowd at a sporting event had John 3:16, and Clark, oh, yeah, I know that verse. Most of us know that verse. If not, I'm sorry. You're going to hear it now, John 3:16. Again, I'm asking the question, why is this so significant that we love the Son, Jesus? And how is this tied to us belonging to God? I think John 3:16 answers that question well. For God so loved the world that He gave His what? His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. So how is the Son described here? What's the word? As the only Son of the Father. Now, the word translated as only means unique, one of a kind. There's nobody else like Him. So when the Father sent the Son, I mean, did He give like leftovers? Was this like a re-gifting? You know that present that's just been sitting in your closet for a couple of years. You don't know what to do with it. Maybe it's a hard year financially. You know what? I can re-gift this. I'm not using it. It's not very valuable to me. That's not the Son. The Son, what's the relationship of the Son to the Father? The Son is the unique, one-of-a-kind, nobody-else-like-Him Son of the Father. The Father loves the Son. He treasures the Son. He loves Him with an eternal love. And the Father gives that Son for who? For sinners like you and me. To reject the Son, to not love the Son, is to spurn the Father's greatest gift. What an offense to God. So to love the Son is absolutely necessary if you want to belong to who? if you want to belong to God. To love the Son means to treasure the Son most and to regard Him with utmost affection. So those who belong to God love the Son. B, those who belong to God receive Jesus' word. So they love the Son, they love Jesus, but they also receive His what? His word. That's verse 43. Verse 43 says, "Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word." So another necessary characteristic of someone who belongs to God is their attitude toward Jesus' teaching. Recall John 14, 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Another example of this, and this is worth going to, let's go to Mark 3. And I want you to pay attention as I read this. Mark 3, verses 31 to 35. Because again, one of the evidences that you belong to God is you receive the teaching of who? Of Jesus. You receive it. Now, I'll unpack that verb in the Greek. I think it's helpful, the connotation there, but we're not there yet. But I want to start with Mark now. Just go to Mark 3, 31 to 35, and pay attention. This is going to be on the quiz. All right. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. So Jesus is in a home, and he's doing what? He's teaching. We see that in verse 32, and the crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Those that Jesus says belong to the family of God are found doing what? They're sitting at his feet. They have come under his word, his teaching. Furthermore, and this is really important, according to Jesus, the word he speaks is from who? It's from the Father. So let's go to John 8, 28. I'm going to read these in order. So we'll start in John 8, then we'll look at John 12, and then John 14. But the word he speaks is from God. It's from God the Father. John 8, 28. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me." And if that wasn't clear enough, let's go to John 12, 49. John 12, 49, Jesus says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has given me a commandment what to say and what to speak." So the Son's words are the Father's words. Again, characteristic, fruit, evidence that you belong to God is what? Receive the words of Jesus. One more, John 14, 10. John 14, 10. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works." If the words of the Son are the words of the Father, then to reject the words of the Son is to reject the words of the Father. Those who belong to God are those who say with Peter regarding Jesus, "You have the words of eternal life." It's John 6, 68. All right, so I told you we'd go back to our verse, verse 43. "Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to what? Hear my word." Those who belong to God, they receive Jesus' word. So the verb here in Greek is akouo, and it doesn't simply mean to hear. The connotation here, it means to obey. Those who belong to God, what do they do with Jesus' words? They don't just hear them, they obey them. Amen. They obey them. Let's go back to John 14, 15. Jesus, "If you love me, you'll what? You'll keep or you'll obey my commandments." Hey, if you love me, Jesus says, you're gonna do what I say. Furthermore, this is the goal of making disciples, is it not? Think of the Great Commission at Matthew 18, verse 20, teaching them to observe, the verb there, to keep, to do, to obey, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Those who belong to God receive the Son's word. Those who belong to God obey the Son's word. Do you love His word? Are you committed to coming under His word? See, if you belong to God, see, you trust in Jesus. You trust in Jesus. That's verses 45 to 46. You love Jesus, you receive and obey His word, and you trust in Him. Amen? I mean, if you belong to God, those things are true. Verses 45 and 46, but because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Faith in Jesus is the ultimate evidence that one belongs to God. In fact, faith in Jesus is how one comes into the family of God. Amen? John 1:12. Let's just go back and look at John 1:12 together. So good. John 1:12. Hearing the swishing of pages. All right. It's a great sound. Handling your swords. Use them. Be familiar with your weaponry, church. Amen? All right, John 1:12. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. To those who what? Who believed in Him, He gave the right to become children of God. One more, Romans 5:1, and then we'll get into some application here. Romans 5:1. Oh, since then you have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Been justified by faith, and we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by what? Faith. Faith in who? Jesus. If you have faith in Jesus, you've been justified, declared right before God, innocent, no longer guilty. And instead of being God's enemy, you now have relational harmony or peace. Amen? So only those who believe in the Son belong to God. If you don't believe in the Son, you don't belong to God. You don't. You cannot. So what do we do with all this? That's just point one. What do we do with all this? Well, I want you to ask yourself a question. Not out loud, obviously, but I want you to think about this. Do I trust in Jesus? Am I obeying His word? And do I love Him? If your answer to these questions is no, then you do not belong to God. If you would say, I don't trust in Jesus, I don't love Jesus, and I don't receive His word, then you're in that other group. You don't belong to God. Now, if you wish to belong to God today, if you wish to belong to God today, then guess what? Trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. That's where a relationship with God begins. And then those who trust in Jesus do what? They love Jesus and they obey Jesus. Now, how do we grow in these areas? And I hope if you would say, well, Chris, I belong to God because I trust in Jesus, I love Jesus, and I obey. I want to come under His word. He rules over me by His word. Praise God. But how do we grow in these areas? How do we grow in our faith, in our love, in our obedience? What's emphasized in our passage? And I get it, you haven't had probably a whole week to study this text, but what's emphasized in our passage? Did you catch it? It's the word of Jesus. It's the word of truth that He's heard from the Father. So, if you wish to grow in your trust or faith in Christ, your love for Christ, and your obedience to Christ, then commit to being a lifelong student of the Word. The Word shows us why we should trust in Christ, and the Word shows us the loveliness of Christ and calls us as Christians to love Him most. And the Word, God's Word, the Bible, reveals to us God's good commands that we are to do what with? We're to obey. Two men that I'm very fond of, both dead, but alive, honestly, in the Lord's presence, amen, Charles Spurgeon and John Bunyan. Charles Spurgeon was a big fan of John Bunyan. And listen to what Charles Spurgeon said of John Bunyan. And John Bunyan should be fresh because VBS wasn't that long ago. We went through a Pilgrim's Progress, my favorite VBS of all time, man. I loved it. This is what Charles Spurgeon said of John Bunyan. Prick him anywhere, like with a pen, like, doink, right, prick him with a pen. Prick him anywhere, and you will find that the very essence of the Bible flows from him. He cannot speak without quoting a text, for his soul is full of the Word of God. Spurgeon was saying of Bunyan, prick him, and he bleeds the Bible. Be a man or woman of the book. Would you like to grow in your faith in Christ? Would you like to grow in your love for Christ? Would you like to grow in your obedience to Christ? Then be a man or woman of the book, of the Word. Good. All right. What of the second group? So we've talked about those who belong to God and what characterizes those who belong to God. Now, number two, let's look at those who don't belong to God and how Jesus characterizes them in our passage. And I actually have more points here. A, B, C, D, and E. Do I have E? I do. Okay. A, I'm going to move quickly. Those who do not belong to God do the works of the devil. And I'm going in order, essentially, in our text. That's verse 41. Those who do not belong to God do the works of who? The devil. Now, what does that mean? The works of the devil amount to disobedience to God's word. And with that, the works of the devil translate into living for one's own glory rather than whose glory? Than God's glory. You know, the devil refused to give God glory and instead sought his own. And the devil, when tempting Adam and Eve, sought to deceive Adam and Eve into thinking that their glory was paramount and not God's. And if you think of Matthew 4, where the devil tempts Jesus, every attempt to tempt the Son of God in Matthew 4, if you're familiar with that passage, was an attempt to have the Son, Jesus, blaspheme the Father by rejecting his path, Jesus' path, to glorify him, for Jesus came to do what? To glorify his Father. So if you're living life for your glory and not God's, if you would say that your happiness is more important than God's glory, then you don't belong to God. That's what the text says. B, if you don't belong to God, you don't love Jesus. Those who don't love Jesus don't belong to God. I mean, you agree with that, amen? How can you? How can you belong to God if you don't love Jesus? Verse 42. Now, as we already saw, one cannot love the Father and then not love the Son, for the Father loves the Son, and the Father and the Son are, they're one. Again, it's like if someone came up to me and said, hey man, I like you, Chris, but I hate Haley. Ooh. I'm just going to stop there. We're not going to have a good relationship. It's just not going to work out. I mean, come on, God. Man, if you're married and someone says, hey, I like you, but I can't stand your wife. What did you say? Say it again. No, I'm just kidding. It's just not going to work. You can't say, I love the Father, but hate the Son. You can't. It doesn't work. They're one. Amen? J.C. Ryle wrote, this is a great quote, where there is no love for Christ, there are no sons and daughters of God. Where there's no love for Christ, there are no sons and daughters of God. If you don't love Jesus, then you don't belong to God. See, those who don't belong to God, see, they hate Jesus' word. They hate it. It's verses 43 and 47. Now, by word here, Jesus is referring to his doctrine, his teaching. To hate Jesus' word is a sure sign that one doesn't belong to God. For as we learned earlier, the word Jesus speaks is the word he heard from who? He heard from the Father. And as we saw in John 14:15, there's a close relationship between love for Jesus and obedience to his word. There's no love for Jesus without obedience to Jesus. Let me say that again. There's no love for Jesus without obedience to Jesus. Now, if someone claims to belong to God, and I'm going to give you two. These are real-life examples, by the way, that I've come up against. I mean, these are pretty recent. I've come up against these examples. If someone claims to belong to God, but holds the word of Christ in utter disdain, they are merely a pretender. Do you know the word in Greek? Jesus uses it a lot for the Pharisees. Hypocrite. Hypokritos. It means pretender. They're actors, right? If you claim to belong to God, but hold his word in utter disdain, you're a pretender. Don't be a pretender. Don't be an actor. If someone says, I have no interest in the church, but I belong to God. Or if someone says, I have no interest in being faithful to my spouse, but I still belong to God. I quickly take them to John 14:15, where Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my what? You'll keep my commandments. If you're unwilling or undesirous to obey the word of Jesus, then you obviously don't love Jesus and you don't belong to God. I'm not trying to be a jerk here. This is truth. Now, please understand this. Please understand that not doing the works of the devil and loving Jesus and his word is not what saves someone. Okay? That's not what saves someone. Rather, it is the evidence that someone is saved. Okay? D, those who don't belong to God are committed to the devil's will. It's verse 44. There is no greater act of sedition or mutiny than to be committed to the devil's will. For the devil's will is to see the utter downfall and destruction of God's kingdom. The devil's will is evil. Agreed? The devil's will is evil. And to pursue evil is to be opposed to God and his rule. In fact, as we saw back in Mark 3:35, one of the primary evidences that one belongs to God's family is the desire to do whose will? Right? God's will. God's will. Now, how can one know whether or not they are seeking the devil's will or God's will? It's pretty simple, right? Those who are committed to God's will are committed to obeying God in all things for his glory. Those who are committed to the devil's will are committed to doing things their own way and for their glory. You see the difference? Those who are committed to God's will are committed to doing all things for whose glory? God's glory, what his word says. And those committed to the devil's will are committed to doing things their way and for their glory. Again, where are you? Where are you? Those who are committed to the devil's will do not belong to God. And then finally, E, those who don't belong to God don't trust in Jesus. That's verses 45 to 46. Just as the clearest evidence that one belongs to God is faith in Jesus, the clearest evidence that one doesn't belong to God is the absence of faith in Jesus. Now, why is faith in Jesus so very vital? Why is it so vital? Because without faith in Jesus, one will remain doomed to face eternal punishment in hell. Furthermore, without faith in Jesus, one will be found building his or her life on a foundation that is unable to support them, that is untenable. Remember Matthew 7, 24-27? If you're building on Christ, you're building on that rock-solid foundation that's going to hold you up for all of time. But if you're building on anything else, meaning if you're trusting in anything else, you're building on sand. And what's going to happen to your life? It's going to come crashing down. And you're going to face the eternal judgment. And you're going to face eternal separation from a good and holy God. That is why faith in Jesus is so very vital, because what's at stake? Everything. All right, what of our final point, number three? And this is the most important question. Because again, I said this, right? What determines? The better question is, who determines whether or not you belong to God? It's a person. And it's your response to that person. It's Jesus. Amen? So number three is this. What qualifies Jesus? I mean, some might say, the world would say, what gives him the right? What gives Jesus the right to be the determining factor of whether or not I belong to God? I belong to God because I say so. Well, it doesn't work that way, friend. Who or what determines whether or not you belong to God? It's Jesus. So what qualifies Jesus? This is an important question. What qualifies Jesus to be the determining factor of whether or not one belongs to God? Well, what we learn in our passage, if you were listening, what we learn in our passage is that belonging to God is ultimately and fully contingent upon one's response to Jesus, and Jesus demands a response. He demands a response. Therefore, what qualifies Jesus to be the determining factor for whether or not one belongs to God? All right, there's A, B, C, D, and E. All right, we're going to move quickly. A, he hears from God. He hears from God. It's verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. What qualifies Jesus? He hears from God. B, he came from God. Are you kidding me? What qualifies Jesus? He came from God. Who do you think you are? Jesus came from God. It's verse 42. I wasn't being rude there. I'm just, you know, seriously. I can't say that. You can't say that. What qualifies Jesus to be the determining factor of whether or not one belongs to God? He came from God. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I, what? I came from God and I am here. Jesus came from heaven and thus speaks with the authority of heaven. See, he was sent by God. He was sent by God. Verse 42, I came not of my own accord, but he, the Father, sent me. Now think about that. As the one sent from the Father, Jesus is authorized by the Father. I mean, you know, someone comes knocking on your door with some big news. I'm going to ask, who sent you? Who sent you? What are you doing here? Who sent you? Now, the answer to that question can have massive implications, right? The king sent me. Oh, man, I was just playing. Come in and have a drink. We just made lunch. You're welcome to come in and stay, right? The king sent me. Oh, Jesus was sent by God. He was sent by the Father. Now, these first three items, he hears from God, he came from God, he was sent by God. Again, what is the question that we're answering together? What qualifies Jesus to be the determining factor of whether or not one belongs to God? He hears from God. He came from God. He was sent by God. A, B, and C. These first three items speak to the Son's close and intimate relationship with the Father. And these further, if you're listening, these further speak, these three items, A, B, and C, further speak to his kingship, his royal identity. As the one from God, sent by God, Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the promised King. What authorizes Jesus? He's the King. He's the King. D, he speaks the truth. What qualifies Jesus? He speaks the truth. Like 99.9% of the time? No, 100% of the time. He speaks the truth. It's verse 45. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Now, this speaks to his authority. Jesus speaks that which is true. And then the last one I want to take some time on, E. He's sinless. What qualifies Jesus to be the determining factor of whether or not one belongs to God? He's what? He's sinless. Verse 46. Which one of you convicts me of sin? And the answer is none. no one. Try it. You'll fail a million out of a million times because the Son of God is what? Perfectly, infinitely, and beautifully, and gloriously without sin. Now this speaks to his worth, and this speaks to his innocence. These last two, D and E, right? He speaks the truth, and he's sinless. These last two speak to Jesus' matchless integrity, holiness, and authority. His matchless integrity, holiness, and authority. Now, when it comes down to it, Jesus' opponents have no grounds for their accusations against him. He is completely innocent and above reproach. Put together, what qualifies Jesus to be the determining factor of whether or not one belongs to God? His royal identity, his authority, his worth. Behold and believe. There's no one like Jesus. I'm in awe. There's no one like him. But it's the last thing that bears repeating. Why is Jesus' innocence so important? Why is that so important that he's without sin? Why is it so important? Well, listen, if Jesus wasn't without sin, then the cross would not have worked and we would still be helpless and hopeless. It's true? His innocence. Why take a few extra moments to highlight this? Because this reminds us, this final point, his innocence reminds us of why Jesus came. He came to pay our debt. Everybody say, pay our debt. And take our place. Everybody say, take our place. Okay, I won't ask you to repeat anything else, but I want that to stick today. What did you learn at church today, guys? Well, Jesus came to pay our debt and take our place. Amen! He came to take our place. He came to pay our debt. In order to pay our debt, and in order to take our place, Jesus had to be perfectly what? Sinless. And he was. He was. You see, from these verses, now this is good. Now, wake up. Nudge your neighbor. And I don't see anybody falling asleep, by the way. I don't want you to miss this final part. I mean, the plane is landing right now, okay? So just don't miss this. You see, from these verses that we just read and unpacked together, we're getting a fuller picture of Jesus' identity. He comes from God. We saw that, right? He comes from God. He's sent by God. He speaks the truth, and he's perfectly righteous. Friends, what qualifies Jesus to be the determining factor for whether or not we belong to God is the fact that he is God. He is God. He is God. Have you trusted in this Jesus? Again, do you love this Jesus? And finally, are you committed to coming under and obeying the word of Jesus? This is the evidence that you belong to God. And if you wish to belong to God, if you wish to belong to God today, you got to start with who? Jesus. Remember what Jesus says in John 14:6? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you wish to belong to God today, then trust in Jesus. Fully man, fully God, Savior, and King. Let's pray. Jesus, I am in awe, and I hope all of us can say we are in awe of who you are. Again, what we see in this final point, what qualifies you to be the determining factor for whether or not we belong to God? Jesus, you're sinless. You lived the life that we could not live because we are sinful. We are full of sin. All of us have sinned. All of us have missed the mark. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And all of us owe a debt that we cannot pay. But Jesus, you as the sinless Savior paid that debt. You lived the life that we cannot live. You perfectly obeyed the law. And for that we say thank you. And not only did you live the life we could not live, but you took our place at the cross. You took the punishment that our sinfulness rightfully deserves. Jesus, you were pierced and you were crushed in our place. That's what we deserve. Because all of us are naturally opposed to you. But Jesus, because of your love and because of your faithfulness to the mission and plan of God, you took our place. You paid our debt. And you took our place. And for that we say thank you. And I pray that for those of us who do belong to you, God, that we would live lives of ever-increasing love and trust and obedience. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.